D-Mace, Fannigan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. The Tennessee Titans are back on the practice field tomorrow at the ungodly hour of 8 o'clock. That's not that bad.
Boo.
That's early for practice.
It is. They're trying to stay out the heat. It ain't going to be hot tomorrow. I don't think so anyway.
But it's their final practice at St. Thomas Sports Park for quite a while because they are headed to Tampa for a joint practice with the Buccaneers, a preseason game against the Buccaneers this weekend. And if I am not mistaken, directly to Atlanta for joint practices with the Falcons.
I believe that's correct.
So the Tennessee Titans hitting the road in the preseason, taking a tour of the NFC South. But Jeremy Fowler of ESPN.com, I've mentioned this a couple of times on the show, he attended a Titans practice over the weekend, I want to say, and had a lengthy notebook of the things he saw. He talked to Brian Callahan. He talked to Mike Borgonzi. And that's where I want to start this hour. So this is part of Jeremy Fowler's notebook on the Titans and his thoughts on Titans practice at ESPN.com. Quote, "The Titans operate that uneasy space where the team should be better, but not good enough to contend just yet. The roster clearly needs more work. No one here is shying away from that. They have one top 10 player, Jeffrey Simmons, according to ESPN's project of executives, coaches, and scouts ranking all 11 positions. No other player was particularly close. Peter Skoronski was number 14 among guards and centers. They have poured $100-plus million and two recent first-round picks in the offensive line. But the question looming over Callahan's second season is this. What are healthy expectations for the Titans given the roster challenges? They are evading any win total goals and conversations, but GM Mike Borgonzi knows exactly what he wants to see from a play style standpoint. Quote, I'm really not big into expectations. I want to see growth. I want to see competition and discipline and start to come together as a team. Are we getting better? But Willie, I think Jeremy Fowler hits it right on the head with that question that he posed in that passage I read. What are healthy expectations for the Titans given the roster challenges? Can they achieve Borgonzi's goal of seeing growth and competition and discipline and start to come together as a team with the dearth of talent the Titans have on their roster?
The discipline, the word discipline from Borgonzi jumped out to me, and that got me thinking about some of the things that were so bad last year. They almost can't help but be better. But you ask yourself, is their lack of talent going to prohibit them from getting better in these areas? Or is it coaching, better with better coaching, different coaching, second year of a coaching staff, can these get better even if the talent is not a whole lot better? Because we know that they are going to struggle, right? FTN Football Almanac, postseason odds for the Titans, 16.4%. And almost a 40% chance of winning between 0 and 5 games, which would put them, quote, on the clock, right? A high first-round pick. So that's a low rating relative to the rest of the league there. The over-under we know is going to be very low. The expectations in terms of the outsiders, they're going to have them at the bottom of the league. So what is Borgonzi looking for? Well, okay, I'm going to point to these categories, and you tell me, guys, if they can improve on these with poor talent, because their talent level is relatively low, but can they overachieve and be better than they were in these areas? Let's start with penalties. The big discussion over the weekend, the blow up by Brian Callahan, he stopped practice, he jumped all over him. That wasn't necessarily because his quarterback was struggling. It was just, the offense wasn't executing, they had some penalties. Last year, the Titans were in the bottom five of any metric you want to look at. There's a lot of different things to interpret when you, besides just the number of penalties and the number of yards. But they had the fourth most pre-snap penalties in the league. Now that should, you tell me, D-Mace, that should have very little to do with how much talent you have, right?
Yeah.
That's just a cohesive team should avoid pre-snap penalties.
Yeah, penalties have nothing to do with how talented or not talented your team is. It's all about discipline. So if they can, you know, get that better, that's a part of becoming a better team.
This is what I think Borgonzi is looking at. They had also 7.8 penalties per game, the second most in the league. Now, I could argue that a team that is overmatched, offensive linemen, you can't block the guys, so you hold them. So you get called for a penalty. I can't cover the receiver I'm supposed to cover. I commit a penalty. I hold him. That certainly happens a lot because you're inferior talent. So that's a little combination. But the pre-snap penalties, that's one I think we should come back and look at over the course of the year. Now let's get to turnovers. Last year, Titans, minus 16 in turnover ratio, 31st in the league. They gave the ball away 34 times, tied for most in the league. Now, can that number improve, D-Mace, without a huge jump in talent overall? How much of that is coaching, and how much of that is just they're not as good as the other team? And show me an inferior team, I'll show you a team that's going to turn the ball over.
That's a tricky one, because if you lack talent across the board, especially at the quarterback position, you're going to open yourself up for turnovers, interceptions. If the quarterback doesn't know how to read the field properly or do the things that you need him to do, that's going to open you up to more turnovers. So, the lack of not having a good team can contribute to that, but also the lack of, being disciplined. There are good teams that get undisciplined at times.
Right.
So
remember, the Raiders used to perennially lead the league in penalties.
Exactly. Penalties. And look at, for instance, Jameis Winston is sort of this prime example, whereas he wasn't disciplined enough to not throw interceptions. He was a hell of a player. He was a good player, really good player, and could have been better had he cut down on those mistakes. But he wasn't disciplined, especially not his rookie year. He wasn't disciplined enough to not throw interceptions. So when you don't have a good team and they're not disciplined, you're opening yourself up more than likely to having a team full of turnovers on the offensive side of the ball.
Special teams, we know the story. Mm-hmm. Dead last for the Titans. FTN Fantasy, they have a catch-all number. They take everything that has to do with special teams, they put it into one number. But I'm just looking at theirs. I think if you looked at any other one, it would be the same. Dead last, and it was a by far dead last when you think about the block punts and the return game and all of the nightmare moments they had on special teams. And that was dead last, even though their kicker almost was perfect throughout the year. Nick Folk was really good, but they still had the worst special teams in the league. How much better can that be? Does that have to do with talent?
Yeah, I think
so. Or is that coaching? Because they obviously have changed the coach.
I think it's a little bit of both.
And they've gotten a good coach.
I think it's a little bit of both. Because a team that, if you show me a good special teams, I show you a team that has depth on their roster. If you show me a team that doesn't have depth on your roster, I can show you a team whose special teams may not be as good.
I do think that. And I heard one of your former coaches, John Harbaugh, in an interview the other day. He was on some NFL radio, and he said the special teams coaches, all of a sudden, with the renewed emphasis on the return game, they're trying to have kickoff returns now. The special teams coach, and he's an old one, right? Mm-hmm. He was a special teams coach. He said now those guys are going to start earning their money. For a few years, they could almost sit in the back room like, hey, nobody's going to return a kick anyway. We just kick it out of the end zone. But now there's some nuances here where the good special teams coaches are going to make their mark. So let's see what Fossil can do there. And then two other categories I have. Red zone. Now that's one where that can make a big difference in a season. Touchdown percentage. How often, when you get the ball in the red zone, do you score a touchdown? How often, when the other team gets the ball in the red zone, do you give up a touchdown? Because if you're holding teams to field goals, or you get turnovers, you get a total stop, that's huge, right? Red zone offense for the Titans, 24th. Red zone defense for the Titans. Remember, we talked a lot about the Titans defense didn't give up that many yards. It looks pretty good. But when they did give up plays in the red zone, they were 25th in the league at the highest percentage of times giving up a touchdown. That is another area where you can improve on the margins. And then, of course, last but not least, there is no stat for Adam's big-ass glasses to look up on this, but I think we could just go game by game and remember them. Catastrophic quarterback play.
Mm-hmm.
pick the one you want to use it as example. But I look at all these things. What's the best thing, Adam, about finishing 32nd in a stat category as a team the year before?
Nowhere to go but up.
Exactly. you can't be any worse than you were in those categories right there. So I look at those, and if I'm Mike Borgonzi, that's what I'm looking at when he says, I want to see discipline, I want to see a team coming together. Because these are things that I think at least a percentage of it is well-coached, a good group, even if you lack in talent. If you can do better on the margins in a league where it's a salary cap and you shouldn't be that much worse than the teams you're playing, you should see some improvement there.
Now, there is not a stat for catastrophic plays, but only three quarterbacks who had a minimum of 300 dropbacks last season had a higher percentage of turnover-worthy plays than Will Levis. Jameis Winston, no surprise, Dak Prescott, and Kirk Cousins.
Dak Prescott?
Yes.
Now, that I would not have expected.
Jameis Winston, Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins, Will Levis, and Trevor Lawrence. That was your quote-unquote top five.
I see. Well, we know Will Levis will not be suiting up.
Right. So
with a rookie quarterback, what will that look like? Let's hope that Cam Ward can be an improvement on Will Levis, right? Because it's not saying much. Will Levis, if it weren't for Deshaun Watson, probably would have been dead last in most of the quarterback categories, right? He was second to last in a lot of them because of the nightmare that Watson was. That shows you how bad Watson's career has fallen.
I just look at this roster, and I do not see a lot of talent. That is not a surprise to anybody. You don't need big-ass glasses to see that the Tennessee Titans don't have a lot of talent. Jeremy Fowler spelled it out perfectly. Jeffrey Simmons, the only top 10 player at his position the Titans have, and nobody else was particularly close. So I'm just wondering how much of Borgonzi's stated goals the Titans can actually achieve considering the dearth of talent on their roster.
That's why I point to these, is maybe these are categories where if you can be well-coached and overachieved, you can do better in these areas because, number one, you can't really do worse.
Well, you just want to see growth in your team, more importantly in your offense, because if you have a whole offense that's doing well, 9 times out of 10, your head coach is going to keep his job a little bit longer than maybe he should. But if you don't have an offense doing well and your defense isn't playing the way you expected them to, then you're going to find yourself out of a job very quickly. This team, they have things. I don't think it's so much that we're looking at wins and losses, and I hope Borgonzi isn't looking at it from that standpoint, or Brinkert, because I think you can develop your quarterback, because that's what this is all about. It's about developing Cam Ward. We talk about developing a roster, but if you ain't developing your quarterback, then developing your roster, it may be counterintuitive because you're not getting anything out of it. You're going to have to get a quarterback anyway. So it's about developing Cam Ward. And if you're developing Cam Ward, maybe they are not in the process of developing. Maybe they don't turn out winning 10, 11 games. But they win 6, 7, maybe even 8. They have a strong, say, second half of the season. That's what I think GMs and head coaches and owners want to see. They want to see their team getting better, especially when they have a young quarterback underneath center. They have a young quarterback underneath center, and they're looking each and every week, and their team is developing and getting better. They feel better about their future moving forward. If that doesn't happen, obviously the scapegoat is going to be the head coach, and he's going to be out of here, and they're going to start this thing over again. So from Borgonzi and Brinker's standpoint, how are you bringing the young quarterback along? If it's to a, you know, if it's, you know, from the standpoint of, you know, he's winning some games, but we may not be playoff bound, I'm cool with that. But if it looks ugly and he isn't getting developed, then we have a problem.
615-737-1025. Let me throw out the question to all of you that I just asked Willie and Derek. How much improvement should we realistically expect from the Titans, considering the dearth of talent on their roster? 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingham, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, 1063 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Jeff. Jeff, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, how are you guys today?
Good.
Doing well.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, I think the magic word is discipline. I think that's going to possibly lead to 2 to 3 extra wins if these guys are disciplined because of the coaching staff. Now, if they commit some penalties, stupid penalties, and they don't, and it's just ignored, then we have a problem. But if they commit penalties and the coaching staff actually talks to them or shows some kind of emotion, then I think discipline is a magic word there. I mean, when you think about the stupid things that Will Levis did, no discipline at all. When you think about some of the stupid penalties, zero discipline. So that's my take. And before I go, I want to say to Willie, I'm truly sorry for your loss, and I'll hang up and listen to you guys and your thoughts.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you very much, Jeff. That's nice of you to say. I think he feels it. To me, Mike Borgonzi, in that non-answer, where I think Jeremy Fowler was maybe seeing, you know, do you have a number of wins in mind or something like that? He gave an answer that didn't go there, but he said discipline, and I think he said it for a reason. And I think we can agree everything theme-wise that Brian Callahan has talked about comes mm-hmm. back to that. He has admitted that they were terrible in those areas last year. He knows it, and he knows it doesn't reflect well on him as a head coach.
Well, if your quarterback didn't show discipline, then that typically filters down to your team in what you're doing, especially on offense, because the one person that needs to go out there and be, you know, sort of the catalyst to a disciplined team outside of the coach is it is your quarterback, especially on offense. So when your quarterback wasn't or you know, at that time wasn't disciplined, then you just look across the board. I mean, they were damn near at the bottom of the league in penalties and things that would hurt them. You know, they can't be that anymore. And they got to be able to overcome a lot of that stuff in order just to be able to go out there and compete on a level that's going to win them football games. Because this team is not good enough to, you know, do things to hurt yourself but then overcome them. We've seen it. And until they get to that point, they can't afford to make those costly mistakes.
The Titans recently, or it might have been yesterday, I think it was yesterday, unveiled their first unofficial, emphasize the word unofficial, depth chart. And a lot is going to change between now and the start of the regular season. But Derek, as you said during the break, this is the team right now. And you want to talk about the scarcity of talent? By the way, one texter asked me if dearth was the word of the day. You're right, Officer Watson from Clarksville. I use the word dearth way too many times. So here's a synonym. Lack. Scarcity of talent.
Scarcity.
Scarcity on the roster. And did anything catch your eye, Derek and Willie, when you looked at this depth chart? The one thing that randomly caught my eye...
Mm-hmm.
If you are a Josh Wiley fan, I don't know if He is long for this roster. Gunnar Helm is listed as the second team tight end. Josh Wiley third. Mm-hmm. I think I made that prediction before training camp, Derek, that Josh Wiley wasn't going to make the team.
He just may not.
We'll see. But anything catch your eye, gentlemen?
The thing we hit on quickly yesterday was that there were very few, if any, surprises. You had to kind of look under the microscope to find the one that you're looking at. And I wouldn't be surprised that there were no surprises if it were a team that was coming off a really good year. You know, I'm sure on the depth chart from the 1993 Cowboys, there weren't a whole lot of changes from the 1992 Cowboys. There probably weren't a lot of surprises on the first unofficial depth chart. But for a team in flux like the Titans, I was maybe looking to see if there might be one or two more intriguing races in there for competition, for jobs and things like that. But what did you think?
I mean, there may be not even a handful of spots that I think that are like truly up for grabs. Now, we can say, well, man, look at the roster as a whole. It's not a good roster from top to bottom. I get that. But I don't think there's, unless these young guys start to show themselves now that they're playing against other jerseys, if these young guys start showing themselves, we're talking about DK and Io Manor and, you know, Femi. Those guys, if they start, you know, showing themselves, then, you know, the depth chart may change. These guys may become starters or even highly contributing players. But the way I look at it now, I mean, and here's the part that I don't think people are really grasping. When I saw this roster and this depth chart, people look at it and say, "Oh, it's just an unofficial depth chart, man. Don't worry about it." No, it's not. If they had to start a season today, this is your team. Big Joe asked that question the first day, you know, when Boganza and Brinker was at doing their presser. Big Joe ended it by saying, "Do you believe the team that you have right now can compete or make it to a Super Bowl?" And they gave this long-winded answer. And essentially, basically, no, they're not. But with that being said, this is your team. Say, throw Snead in there somewhere down the line. Throw Snead in there. But this is your team right here. If you had to line up today with your starters, this is who your starters would be. Going against everybody else's starters. That's why when I look at this unofficial stuff, I just don't look at it and say, "Oh, it's nothing." No, there is something to it. There's always something to it. They put these players in these positions. It's not like somebody's hurt. The only two people that we assume will be on this that are not now is Cushenberry and Legarius Sneed. Is there anybody else that we think is going to be in the starting lineup that ain't?
Yeah, and those guys are kind of in a parentheses, asterisk category right now in the PUP.
Absolutely.
So they were on there.
So if some of these young guys don't show themselves, this is who you're going into the season with. Make no mistake about it, people. The same people you see right now as unofficial will be official. There will be no change other than probably Legarius Sneed at some point and Cushenberry at some point.
I would leave room maybe for one or two waiver wire people that because they're the first team, I really hope they find somebody, honestly, because they need it. They need to take advantage of that.
But I don't want people to look at this and be like, "Oh, that's nothing. This is something." If I was playing, I would be on the start. So this is your starting lineup. This is who you would field on the field. That's not right. This is who you would have on the field when you start up your games. These guys right here.
Yikes.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't look at this and say, "Oh, it's nothing." No, I look at it and say, "We need some improvement." Because the way it's looking now, unless some of these young guys show themselves and unless these second and third year guys that are now plugged in, J.C. Latham, Skoronski, guys like that, Chigakonkwo, guys like that, if they don't show up big, this team is going to end up being in a in a sort of in the same position they were last season, where they're only winning 2, 3, 4 games. I get it. If Cam's playing well, I understand. But those guys got to show up as well.
Willie, earlier we talked about how the Titans need some wins with their draft picks because lately we know it hasn't worked out too well. Jeremy Fowler writes, quote, a trio of rookie draft picks, mid-round receivers Chimere Dike and Elik Iomanner and tight end Gunnar Helm are earning playing time. Borgonzi predicts they will be in the rotation. Quote, every day there's a flash. They need to play and learn, he said. And in the case of Helm, who has natural pass-catching skills, he could really take off. The Titans have been impressed with his pass-catching ability. Now he has to nail the rest of the tight end routine. But don't be surprised if Tennessee runs two tight end sets with Chigakonkwo and Helm soon enough.
Welcome to the land of opportunity, because here are three guys that are not really blocked by anybody in front of them on the depth chart. And we discussed a lot last year, DeAndre Hopkins and his presence. It was blocking guys like that to have a chance to play. Now, we might find out these guys can't play a lick, but I did tune into the nugget that Borgonzi gave Fowler there. That's insight. Where the GM is actually saying he predicts that all three will be in the rotation. Well, he kind of controls who's going to be in the rotation to some degree, right? He makes the cuts. if I said, I think Adam is going to make my team. Well, I control whether I keep Adam or not. I can, for my fantasy team, I could say I predict Adam's going to be my wide receiver two on Sunday. That might not be good. But I control whether, if Adam's on my roster, I can either cut him or put him in my lineup. It's my choice. But if he's saying he thinks those guys will be in the rotation, that must be some optimism that he's seeing what he likes from those guys, or he's also come to the conclusion, might be a little bit of this too, that he doesn't have anybody else, right? And in somewhere the two tight end set thing came up in a discussion. I don't know if Borgonzi or one of the coaches threw that out there. But that's also something to keep your eye on, because that's coming from discussions with the coach. You know how these things happen. National guy buzzes through there in 2 days. And Adam, what do you like? What do you always say about the national guys? They always get all the access. They get to talk to everybody. Right?
Yes.
So those were nuggets that he got that have not really been out there.
No, I mean, whether it's a, you know, a national guy or girl, or not, there are things that, you know, that needs to happen within this roster in order for them to be the team that we all want them to be, in order for them to be the team the Titans want them to be, upper management. So there are a lot of things that need to happen, whether someone else is reporting it or not. This team is, you know, depleted of talent, and how they, you know, the next couple of years is going to be critical, this year more importantly, in how do they develop this roster and how do they, more importantly, develop their quarterback moving forward.
615-737-1025. We will take your thoughts on the Titans. But coming up next, there is a new banned substance in the NFL that George Kittle was so upset about, he crashed an NFL Network interview to air his grievances. We'll discuss that coming up next and wrap up the show. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Ving, 102.5 The Game.
George, hello, friend. How are you?
I honestly just came up here to air a grievance.
Oh.
Our team got a memo today that smelling salts and ammonia packets were made illegal in the NFL.
Wow.
And I've been distraught all day.
Okay. Illegal?
He even said he's not practicing anymore.
I considered retirement.
Yeah. So they can go ahead and bring that back for George Kittle.
We got to figure out a middle ground here, guys. Help me out. Somebody come up with a good idea.
Send an email. Airing of grievances.
Yeah, that's all I had to get out there. I'll get that off
my chest. Every drive, I'm an every down. In between every play, he's one of his thoughts that pulls out the sock.
Well, it feels like the energy's still out here, though.
Definitely, but I miss those already.
Well, they haven't been outlawed at practice.
No, we don't have them at practice.
Okay, all right, just checking.
That's right. That was my only grievance, but besides that, you guys look fabulous.
We'll fix it.
It's all yours.
Thank you.
George, we'll do our best to help you out with that, man.
You did great. See you, buddy.
Yep. Well, that's an unfortunate development.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
You know,
I didn't get the memo.
It just came out this morning, and obviously he's very distraught over it.
Yeah.
That was George Kittle crashing an NFL Network interview at 49ers training camp, breaking the news that smelling salts have been banned in the NFL.
Do you remember, D-Mace, the first time you ever had smelling salts?
Yeah. Whew.
I mean,
it opened up a whole new world.
That's crazy.
Literally.
If you've never done it, it is unlike any other sensation.
Yes, it was like, and see, this is why certain people are put in your life, or certain people have to make decisions for you. Like, say, for instance, like your mom, she just has to make decisions for you when you're little. Because if she didn't sometimes, or your dad, it's like, man, see, this is what you get into when you don't listen to your mom and your dad, or your wife. You can listen to your wife. This, oh, don't matter. This is the NFL saving the players from themselves. That's all it is. Because there couldn't have been a benefit, and I did it. There couldn't have been a healthy benefit to sniffing that stuff.
Now, I've been informed.
There couldn't have been.
I've been informed by Willie Donick that Chris Mason and Hal Gill, who are no longer players, they're broadcasters, use smelling salts before going on the air.
Yes, so let's hope this does not reach out past the NFL and go into NHL broadcasters, because Mace
it's
is
been
in trouble.
Banned.
Hal just kind of did it with Mace, just kind of be, you know, his buddy. Hey, I got you, man. I'll do something too. Let's get ready, you know? But I'll be in the national anthem. You know, and you know, we're getting geared up, and I see Mace, you know, right before the anthem's about to play. He's got his special little smelling salts there, and he's got it going. So this is especially with George Kittle and his Predators connection. I don't know if George Kittle is Mace's source for the smelling salts. It's possible.
He's the plug, huh?
It's possible. I hadn't thought about it. I think he got Max Hurst to do the smelling salts one time.
Stop
too.
Doing that stuff, people.
Would Philip Forsberg be the smelling salt mule between George Kittle and Chris Mason?
It's plausible. It's plausible.
There's a chance.
We can't rule it out.
Yeah.
We can't. You love these conspiracy theories, D-Mace. We can't rule it out.
Listen, that stuff, again, I did it when I played. But it got to a point where I stopped doing it. But there are no scientific benefits long term.
Okay, Adam,
for
can we
smelling
check
that stuff. Yeah, so thank you, NFL, outlawing it.
What was the original? Because this goes way back.
Do like Henderson did. Have somebody slap you across the face. Remember Big Henderson from UT in Jacksonville? Remember how the trainer used to slap in the face?
Baby Shaq. John Henderson from Pearl Cone High. What was the medical or reason originally? Because remember, there was like things like salt tablets.
Yeah.
Stuff that's completely antiquated. Like, what were we doing? We don't do that.
The NFL.
I think smelling salts are going that way, right?
In the memo, beginning
going the way
this
of the
season,
salt tablets.
Beginning this season, teams are prohibited from, quote, unquote, providing or supplying ammonia in any form. That includes ammonia capsules, inhalers, ammonia in a cup, and any form of smelling salts. It applies to the entirety of a game, including pregame activities and halftime, and applies in the locker room and on the sideline. According to the memo, the ban comes as a result of FDA warnings that were issued in 2024. Here's part of that warning. In 2024, the FDA issued a warning to companies that produce commercially available ammonia inhalants, as well as to consumers about the purchase and use of AAIs regarding the lack of evidence supporting the safety or efficacy of AIs marketed for improving mental alertness or boosting energy.
This is the NFL.
Is it dangerous for you, or it just doesn't do anything for you?
It's dangerous.
It must
man.
Be dangerous.
I like what? Smell, so that's dangerous.
Gives you brain damage?
I don't know. May?
Huffing glue? Huffing paint?
Listen, this is the NFL saving.
Is that what it is?
This is the NFL saving their rear. They're saving their butts right here. This is the NFL covering their butts, okay? Because there's no test you can take to say, hey, you've been using smelling salt like they can do for marijuana and all this other stuff. So how are they going to monitor this? How are they going to, you know, keep tabs of who may have it, who may not? Are they going to go into people's lockers and see if they got smelling salt? So what is it?
Can you put like a Crayola wrapper over the smelling salt? It's just, I'm just smelling this crayon.
I'm trying to figure out how they're going to sort of police this, because
it'd be tough.
It's not a test you can take to say, come here. You did that smelling salt, didn't you? You're out of here, buddy. How do you know I did it? Well, I don't know.
I feel like George Kittle might push the envelope based on what we just heard.
Oh, he's still going to do it, I guarantee you.
Hair Metal Henry on our text line says, in my day, smelling salts was sitting next to the fat kid who didn't use deodorant.
Well, wow.
David James got a good laugh out of that one.
PE class, I can tell you that there were some strong
odors.
Odors.
Oh, of course.
Deodorant is your friend.
The locker room smell, just the mix of the sweat and the deodorant attempts after the sweaty PE class where nobody was jumping in the shower between second and third period.
I wonder how many brain cells I damaged doing
that. One texter, Brandy, says, what will Luke Evangelista and Zachary LaRue do if this comes to the NHL? That's one of my favorite NHL broadcast shots.
Oh, yeah.
Right before puck drop, the camera pans across the bench and everyone's smelling salts and hand and like one player is holding it so the other one can do it. So that's a good question.
I do remember Zach LaRue partaking in that.
I have never attempted smelling salts before.
Never.
Well, don't.
Should I do it?
No.
Before the show tomorrow?
No. Nope.
Maybe just one time.
Nope. I don't want to be the guy. I don't want to be the guy that advises you to do that. No.
Right before the show. D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donovan. All right. Chase is off. Let's go nuts.
You, Adam, may not need it. You may not want to take it. You may not want to sniff it.
Oh, man.
You may not want to sniff
it. No, I shouldn't do that.
No.
What did the texter say? Should I do smelling salts before the show tomorrow? Yes or no? 615-737.
Are they outlawing them everywhere?
Like, I think it's just the NFL.
Just the NFL.
Okay. Well,
as
they
of
can
now,
still get them.
As of now, it's just the NFL.
Well,
but there's no performance enhancing element to this, right? It's just all, what do you just call it? The placebo effect.
Apparently.
You feel like you get a little jump, right?
According to this memo, ammonia inhalants also have the potential to mask certain neurological signs and symptoms, including some potential signs of concussion.
Ooh.
Maybe that's where we're going with this.
Yep. Huh? There we go.
Because every boxing movie that you've ever seen has got smelling salts, like every fight, every round, right?
I just think of Varsity Blue, where they just put smelling salts in the big guy's nose just to wake him up after a concussion.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, that did happen. Yep. See? You don't want that, man. Stop using that stuff, people. You know? The days are over with, man. Kittle, stop it. Stop it. No more.
You know what? Here's what's going to happen. Roger Goodell is going to hire Derek Mason as the ambassador. He's going to go to all 32 camps, and he's going to say, guys, I used to do it. You don't need it. It's not good for you.
You don't need that smell. I'm cracking down on everybody. They should have somebody in the locker room monitoring. I think there should be 32 smelling salt monitors. People in the locker room during game time.
You're going to bring snitches into the
absolutely.
Locker room?
A league official.
Absolutely.
Who would be that?
You would need more than 32.
I feel like Nick Frazier could be the Nashville guy.
Yeah.
Just you know, he's very in a very polite way. Mm-hmm. If he sees any smelling salts, he could go up, sir.
I got something else.
Mr. Kittle,
I
hate to do this, but I have to take this from you. It's league. Here's my badge. I'm with the league. I'm here to make sure nobody does any
smelling salt official.
But like, how could you be mad at Nick
SSA,
Frazier, right? How could you get mad at Nick? Because he's the nicest guy ever, right? He could look you right in the eye.
Smelling
and,
salt
and you
authority.
Would be so mad, but he what couldn't,
authority
you couldn't get mad
salt.
At him. Yeah.
Maddie on our text line says, that's exactly right. We had them in high school for people who got their bell rung. And yes, mm-hmm. I will record tomorrow's show if y'all hit the salts before the show.
Hit the salts.
All right, I guess we're doing it.
I'm not. Y'all can do it.
I know a guy. I just got to get Mace. See Mace.
Hey, y'all may do it, but I'm not.
The texters are interested in me potentially doing smelling salts before the show.
I can just see it now. It's just how Adam
Let's do it. Let's do it. We'll find out. Well, you can find out tomorrow at 3:00. We'll see. We'll
I
all
do not
find
condone
out
smelling of salt like that in that ammonia form. I do not condone that.
What if I just bring like kosher salt? Is that okay?
I don't think you want to do that.
No.
I feel
you
like
burn your
future.
Nose. Oh my goodness, man. You may not do the show after that.
It's going to be a future debate. C-Mace versus D-Mace. Mm-hmm. Pros and cons, smelling salts. D-Mace will take the, you don't need this. C-Mace will like, here's why I do it.
Yeah. Chris has got to get up for that broadcast,
yeah.
man.
Yeah. I mean, I get it, but man.
And then Adam will make his choice. Do I go C-Mace or do I go D-Mace?
Because the effect, whatever effect it gives you or feeling it gives you, it's gone in a matter of seconds. It's gone, completely gone. So it's like, why do it?
Well, find out tomorrow at 3 o'clock if I did smelling salts before the show. You'll find out quickly based on how energetic I am when I bring in the show for all of you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. The Titans are back on the practice field tomorrow at 8 a.m., their last practice in Nashville for quite a bit because they are headed to Tampa for a joint practice with the Buccaneers. Then they have a preseason game in Tampa. Then they're in Atlanta for practices with the Falcons. So we're not going to see the Titans in Nashville for a little bit. So we will be out at practice tomorrow. We will react to what we saw. Plus, Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mic with Hutton Withrow will join us at 5 o'clock. So you are all on pins and needles for 3 o'clock tomorrow to see if I do attempt smelling salts. I don't know where I would start to look to buy them. But I have a lot of time, so we'll all find out together. But we will see you tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Be love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful Tuesday. Peace.